This is a presentation of Dawnforge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode 615. This one's for you, Mr. Rowe. Today's sponsor is Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2018. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2018. Over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. We're also sponsored by Funko, maker of the world's broadest selection of vinyl figures, from pops to dorbs, rights to mugs, and so much more. Check them out at bit.ly/FunkoATA2018.
Coming all the way from the exotic land known as Canada, buckle in for another episode of All Things Azeroth. Now presenting your hosts, the always stalwart and honorable Medros, a master of the fell and commander of demons, Fandeth, and everybody's favorite meat shield. Wait, meat shield? Who wrote this? I am not a tank. Ahem. The ever boastful warrior, Toasty, bringing you your news from the World of Warcraft. This is All Things Azeroth.
And welcome back to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I'm your host, Medros, and with me I have Fandeth. How are you doing, Fan?
Hi, I'm good. Happy Monday. How are you?
It is confirmed to be a Monday.
I don't know how happy it is, but it's a Monday.
Yeah, I'll agree with that sentiment right there.
I'm sure Toasty's super happy because the Blues are up 3-1 on the Jets, those jerks.
Yeah. It is unfortunately the way it goes. As we don't have a Toasty this week, as aforementioned, the Blues are playing the Jets tonight, we have a special guest host. Our people in live chat have already heard that voice, but welcome to the show, Allie.
Hi, thank you.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing all right.
I'm excited to be here.
Now, you're from the Dungeon Fables podcast. Can you tell some of our listeners who may not know about your show what it's all about?
It's about dungeons and the fables behind them. So every week I take a look at each boss and the stories behind them and why they're there, and how they relate to why the dungeon is there, kind of explore the dungeon if it's been revamped and compared to the old version, that kind of thing. It's been a lot of fun so far.
Cool. I've listened to it. It's a lot of fun.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I'm gonna give that a check out. Give it a listen to.
It's fun because I also use, you know, when there's sound clips and music, I try to insert that to, so those listening who are at, say, work or whatever can, you know, they'll enjoy some WoW stuff while they're not playing WoW. And it's fun to know why that random crab is in the dungeon and that he's not just thrown in there, that he actually has a story. So it's been really fun. Like, I'm having a blast exploring it, and it's fun to share it.
Now, have you hit any instances where there was a reference to a Blizzard employee or a community member in a dungeon?
Not yet. I know there's some coming up. If there has been one, off the top of my head, I can't think of it.
And this week was Upper Blackrock.
Yes.
What is your plan for next week?
Dire Maul. We'll see, because, you know, there's Dire Maul East and West. So we'll see if I just do one big episode or divide them into two. I haven't decided yet, so we'll find out.
I've listened to a podcast about Dire Maul before. My advice, if you want to look at the scenery, stop running.
Yes, yes. And not run into giant treants.
Good plan.
So when you did Upper Blackrock, you said Upper Blackrock, right?
Yes.
Did you do just one episode for that?
Yes, because what I ended up doing was just talking about the old Blackrock, Upper Blackrock, that's not in the game anymore.
Oh, okay.
And then, because I'm going through all the vanilla stuff first. So yeah. I saved the new Draenor version for down the road when I'm doing Draenor stuff. Because I only have so much content, you know, if Blizzard doesn't give me more dungeons down the road. So I don't want to take future content away. So that's just going to stay down there for now.
And Lower Blackrock, have you done that?
Yes, that was episode 19, kind of leading into it. Yeah.
That would be a massive episode because there's so much stuff.
Right, like technically it's one big dungeon back in the day, at least it was considered as such. Like, not everyone considered it to be a raid episode because, you know, it eventually got nerfed to 5-man. Yeah. But it's one of those classic, iconic raids that really was a stepping stone to Blackwing Lair and Molten Core. So I needed to treat it like a raid episode, and it was really cool.
Have you done Strathom yet?
No, not yet.
That'd be fun too, because there's the two sides and.
Well, there's this two sides, and there's so much rich lore in there. So yeah. I try to go into the lore without straying too far from focusing on the dungeon, because some of the dungeons, like Strathholm, for example, has so much lore. So sometimes I'm good at staying and focusing on the dungeon. Other times I stray a little bit, but it's fun either way.
If you're ever looking for a co-host or a guest, Strathholm is my dungeon. Same.
I will keep that in mind.
All right. Well, as you're our guest, how's your week wild been?
Pretty good. I had some fun trick-or-treating for the new Hearthstone toy from the Headless Horseman, which is awesome and I love it. And I used that to level my DK a bit. So that was good times. Plus, you know, world quest and raiding and dungeons and stuff. It's all good.
Fan, how was your week?
Busy. Busy. In WoW, I'd be lying if I said that I played WoW at all. I have not had time. There's a lot of stuff going on between last show and this show. Oh, and you know, the birthday party that we threw for my little girl on Saturday. Yeah, there's just, and then preparing for that. So, like, baking cakes, doing dishes, doing more dishes, trying to get some sleep. You know, stuff like that. Just simple little things. Related to getting sleep, which I guess is kind of related to video games, I recently bought some MyPillows. I don't know if you've seen the ad for that or heard the ad for it. They're kind of neat. We're still sizing them up and seeing how they are, if they're really that good, really that effective. But so far, so good. So yeah, that's kind of the most interesting thing I've done in the past week.
Cool.
Not WoW related. Maybe I'll have time after the show today to play some WoW.
I hope you get around to it.
Me too. You
know, it's kind of a fun game. Maybe you've heard of it.
Yeah, I miss it.
So my week in WoW, finally got Pathfinder. Got out and explored the last few areas of zones I need to explore. Finished getting the two reps I needed, which was Tortolan and Champions of Azeroth up to Revered. And then that leads me to yesterday morning, which I'm surprised hasn't been mentioned today already. So, mentioned before, I am moderating a Pod Before the Con panel for Con Before the Storms folks. This will be happening next Sunday, I believe at 7 p.m. Eastern time, I'm thinking.
That is correct.
Thank you. I keep trying to remember the time of it, and I keep like lapsing on my memory of what time it's supposed to be at, so thank you. Gonna have some really cool people who will be there. Allie will be there. Frasley will be there. Tosh from Half Hill Report. Berserker from Unshackled Fury. Stone from WoW Challenges. And Wookie BH from WoW Talk. As part of that, they wanted us to kind of get to know each other and have a gaming session to try and, you know, build rapport and such. I figured I could just, you know, come to the show and just like tell me what to do, but apparently they want me to like plan stuff. So we planned out a session, and we did some raiding, and it was a lot of fun.
Oh my
God. Just raided?
This is like classic, like AQ,
that kind of stuff. Raiding. It doesn't really count, but it's still fun.
It was fun. That fun began to dwindle a little bit when the first time happened, where I stopped hearing anybody.
Oh no!
And then the second time, it got even worse. And I think it was like 8 times before I said, "Okay, I'm done. I'm done trying." Yeah, so it was really, really frustrating. I don't know who is the mix of trying to talk on Discord at the same time as gaming, or maybe MTS was doing some work in my area or something, but it was just really not good.
Probably MTS. That's your first mistake.
I agree at this point that is definitely part of the problem.
Is it because you're on a Pally?
No.
I'm sorry. I had to do it. Toasty asked me to give you a hard time because you're a Pally.
I know.
Toasty, I have done it.
I forgive you.
I don't need to.
But yeah, as far as like Discord and raiding goes, there shouldn't be a problem with that, because when I used to raid with Toasty, we used Discord. We used Discord for raiding, and it was pretty good. We could hear everything, and we even had the like used push to talk, because it's super annoying when you're doing group content and people don't use their push to talk, because you hear them every time they sneeze and any other crap like that. Or, you know, the smokers or the weed smokers every time they take a haul, and no, I don't need that. But yeah, I've never had an issue with raiding and discording. Actually, any of the voice chats, Mumble, Vent could be wishy-washy sometimes. I don't remember what the other one that we used was with Res.
Do you speak Ventrilo, Mumble?
Oh, I used Vent.
Twitch Talk.
Mumble. TeamSpeak, I think we used in one of the guilds.
TeamSpeak for me goes back to my WoW radio days. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
You know, maybe it wasn't TeamSpeak. Maybe it was a different one outside of those ones. I used to actually use Skype with people for arenas, PvP arenas. Although Discord would totally blow that out of the water because you don't have to have a push to talk and it can attenuate your voices. So like you were saying before to Ali to mute for the intro. I never mute for the intro. Like even for like the sound bites you play, I'm quiet enough that my mic doesn't pick it up. So I guess the recording would pick it up a little bit. I'm sorry, Sean. It probably does too. I should pause or mute.
See, for me, my microphone has the mute button on it, so I can just press that button and it'll mute everything. And then I can type and click things because I have to do a lot of clicking in those periods where I'm playing audio clips and such. So
I'm thinking about it now. I don't have a mute button on my mic. Whether I mute in Discord or not, it does not have any bearing on the recording because the recording can still hear me.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Sean.
I've heard some very interesting things listening to some of the recordings we've done that way. Yeah. Even more interesting in with previous co-hosts, who I will not name.
I mean, I know that there's sometimes that I have to sneeze, so I turn away, cover my mouth, and do it. Sometimes I got a super ugly, gross, runny nose, so I run away to the bathroom, which is, you know, maybe 15, 20 feet away, and blow my nose in there, but I'm sure he can still pick it up. I need a mute button for my mic. Next mic, I guess.
They're quite
nice. I recommend the Yeti. It's a really nice mic.
Well, you recommended I get the Blue Snowball, and that's the one that I got.
Yes, that's a good mic too, but yeah. This is kind of the next generation of mics from Blue, so.
Yeah.
But this is not all things podcasting, so let's move on, shall we? But yeah, overall it was a good week. The play session was a lot of fun. I'm confident that I've seen Blackwing Lair before. It's been a long time. I've done AQ solo before, just trying to get the pets from it, and got completely lost several times. This did also happened on Sunday. I blame the time, because I got nothing else I can blame. So...
So wait, what time was it that you were doing it at?
9:30 our time. Yeah, Sunday morning.
It was 8:30 my time, and I was fine, so yeah.
AM?
Yeah, AM.
Okay, so, I mean, you can't really blame Crown for that.
I'd consumed no Crown that day. Yeah. So I assure you, by the end of it, I had wanted to. But then I had to go Pokemoning, so. Let us move on, I say, to our first ad. Our new sponsor is Funko. If you haven't heard of them by name, you've definitely seen their products. They make collectible vinyl figures from a bunch of Blizzard universes. Warcraft to Overwatch, Heroes to Diablo, and even more from outside of Blizzard universe, such as Firefly, Game of Thrones, and Marvel. I like to highlight a Funko Pop each week, and this week's Funko is Carbon Fiber Genji. Now, this is a Target exclusive, so it's not one you can get on the store for the Funko link, but there's lots of Funkos there, and this is a really cool one. If you are in the United States, you can go to Target, you can order them online. If you're not, well, I'm sorry, because unlike the US, we don't have Target up here. So basically, I had to find somebody going to the States and say, hey, can you grab me a couple of Funko Pops? Unfortunately, there's a lot of ones that are only available in the US, or will be cost prohibitive to try and get them shipped here. Like Box Lunch has a lot of exclusives. They're a Funko or a Hot Topic subdivision or something, and they charge like $60 for shipping to Canada, and this is on a $15 Funko Pop, so that's not going to happen. But I don't know that they have any exclusives this round. The Carbon Fiber Genji Funko Pop, and I just realized I completely forgot to put this in the show in the chat room. So bad on me. I need to learn to do that better. Yeah, it's basically the carbon fiber skin for Genji in Overwatch, and it looks really cool. It's definitely very different from his normal one. Not quite as different from Tyrbjorn to Molten Tyrbjorn, but it's a really nice one. I really like it. I'm looking forward to maybe some like different poses. Like some of the ones that I really like from other ones is like the Harry Potter ones where they're wearing the sorting hat, or they have it's Harry with his owl, or something. The ones that are like an actual different pose or different look for the character, not just a different color to their outfit. So hopefully we can see some of that in this one. Now, I did mention before that there was the Halloween ones. There's two that are currently out, which is the Junkrat and Roadhog ones. And then there's two that are shipping out from Blizzard soon, and they'll be in store soon as well, like around the end of this month. And that is Mercy in her witch costume. I'm trying to remember who the other one was. The Cthulhu one. I'm sure once I go looking for it, someone will tell me exactly what it is, and I'll feel like really stupid, but I will do that anyway. Okay, so apparently they're not on the store anymore. Well, boo. Zenyatta, Cultist Zenyatta. And I'm really looking forward to seeing that one, because that one, it actually has a very different look to it from the other one. And Mercy does have a broom, so that's pretty cool. And those are Blizzard exclusives. I don't think those will actually be in the store unless they like buy them and price them really high. So definitely good, cool ones there. But yeah, Carbon Fiber Genji is what we're talking about this week. So if you want to check out any of the Funkos they have on their store, go to bit.ly/FunkoATA2018. You can check out their online shop and use Shop10 to save 10% off your entire purchase. That's bit.ly/FunkoATA2018 and use Shop10 to save 10%. I want to thank Funko for their support of the show. So what's going on this week there, fan?
All the things. It's so busy. Oh, my goodness. Actually, only two things. So Hallow's End is still going on. That started on the 18th, and it runs until November 1st at 11 a.m. or so. Also, this coming week is the Battleground bonus event, and that's going to be from October 23rd. To 29th. That's it.
Well, that's a short list. That's not fair. I like when there's like lots of stuff going on.
Well, I mean, that's usually for this month in WoW, but that was like, you know, what, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
That we would have talked about that. But in 2 weeks, we could talk about this month in WoW for November, right after BlizzCon, because why not?
Yeah, that's the episode we'll have our friend Zeph on again.
Should be fun.
All right, so first new topic this week is a post that was put up on the WoW site today, and I must say, looking at this post, it took me back a ways. In the early days of WoW, the login screen had, at least in some places, I think maybe it's in beta, but it had this picture of some art picture, concept art of a dwarf riding a griffin. And I always felt that was really, really cool. It was really, you know, very fantasy classic art, and I really loved it. But this post not only has that at the top, but it also has an old map, a pre-Cataclysm map of Westfall.
Wow. Aww. I remember Westfall way back in the day.
That was always being worked on.
I would go to the instance out there and
Dead Mines.
Die a horrible death because I was playing Horde all the time. I played Alliance for a little bit too, like just a random alt just for giggles. Actually, a bunch of us, a couple of people in my guild would roll Alliance tunes on a different server back when you couldn't have Horde and Alliance on the same server, and you would go run around and do random things when our server was down for whatever reason, if it was maintenance or just eating it.
Yeah. So the reason why this post, why this came up is that they did a dev water cooler about what to expect from the demo of the World of Warcraft Classic that is coming for BlizzCon. Now, this has been a bone of contention. I might have had opinions or two on this matter.
The water cooler or the Classic?
The WoW Classic.
Really? You had opinions about that?
Never. Yeah. No.
Maybe one or two opinions on whether or not they should waste their money. So basically, they kind of go through what to expect and then also kind of what is new from what we had before. So the demo we're getting is a true demo version. It's one level or one map and a maximum of four levels you can gain in that one map. Basically, they kind of outlined the mission of, for this team was to be as faithful as possible to WoW as it existed in 2005 and 2006. A lot happened between 2004 and when the Cataclysm hit, but even more has happened since then. So there have been a lot of changes to the world, and this is trying to give us a look at the way things work. This includes Devious Mages. This is Mancric's Mancric's wife, Planestriders and Barons, like everything from the good, the bad, and the ugly. What is WoW Classic?
Wailing Caverns runs. Oh my goodness. That's actually so exciting.
That's actually a great thing you mentioned that, because that will not be something you can do in this demo.
Ah.
You will also not be able to run through Dead Mines either. Basically, it is one level, starting with level 15, so you can get a re-energized feel for the talents and all the stuff that's going to come along with this. You can get a lot of the very classic abilities, like defensive stance for warriors, psychic scream for priests, and hunters have their pet at that point. So this is kind of where they felt that it really was a good place to start people for the demo, instead of back at level 1 in, you know, Northshire Abbey or in other places. So basically the goal of WoW Classic, and they posted this back in June, is they're building WoW Classic on the foundation of our current modern code. This will allow us to have better graphics quality, or at least a better visual quality to what we're seeing in game. They'll have support for widescreens, which they did not have back in vanilla. It was letterbox or nothing. And that will ensure a better viewing experience for those people playing it, which is very good. I won't begrudge them that. When I've tried to play the WoW RTS games, they tend to fall over in that aspect pretty badly. So,
if I'm in the Barrens and I can run between Crossroads and Ratchet, I think I'm pretty happy about that. That's good. I like that. In Wailing Caverns, I can wait.
Yeah, so they also mentioned that support for 32-bit clients has been removed. So there will be no 32-bit client for WoW Classic. It'll be 64-bit only, which itself has some really good benefits. They have also stated that some of the accessibility options that they've brought in since those days of yore have been ported as well, such as colorblind support. So people who are colorblind can actually play the game with a faithful reproduction of what is actually being seen. They want to make sure that we have a playable game that is reflective of the way it was. So it's definitely a very, very big balancing thing. And I very much believe that this whole process is going to be getting a lot of feedback for the developers to see where they're going wrong, where they're going right and badly, to make sure that they can improve on it. They do say that, you know, they want you to see what it's going to be like, but they don't want you to think that this is all they have. There's lots of work left to do. This is a very important step to show us what they're working on and where they're at this point. But there is more left to do. So it's not like, you know, the opening ceremony is going to be, oh, you can play WoW Classic now here, and in 6 months it'll be released. It may be. Doubt it, but it may be. I'm not expecting that. I think they really want to do a very big job of calming those things. And I do wonder, like, this is the second piece we've had where I felt it was kind of, okay, we get you're excited, but let's just lower that level a little bit. Like, the Diablo thing, it wasn't in our show notes, but basically they said, hey, we're glad you're excited for Diablo at BlizzCon. However, it's not what you're thinking. You know, we are still working on stuff that will be announced at a later date, but the stuff you're thinking of for BlizzCon is not going to be happening, basically.
So reading reading over this blog post, just seeing some of the things they talk about with the Barons, with Mankirk's wife, and thinking back to Wailing Caverns, thinking back to running to Ratchet, and running around everywhere. And that brings back some nostalgia, where it's like, wow, this was fun. And wow, I was like 15 years old at the time, or however old I must have been. A little bit older than that, maybe? I don't know. The nostalgia is real. Like, it sounds really cool, but am I super excited for the game? Not really. Cookie's not excited either. He wasn't even born yet.
I'm looking forward to it because it's going to help my show. A lot of these dungeons have been revamped, and I have to go off my memory and other people's notes and things like that to compare the two. So now I can go run the old dungeon myself in order to compare them. So I'm looking forward to that.
Like, there was a bunch of stuff I used to do back in Classic that I don't really do anymore. But then some of that carried on to other expansions, where I think just before Cataclysm came out, I was working on my Insane title, so that because of the things that were going away, like Shendralar Rep, and I worked and worked and worked and worked and was busting my butt to try to get that stuff. And while it was fun, a lot of that stuff is not stuff I really want to do again. Like, it definitely brings back fond memories, but they're meant to be memories, and they're not necessarily meant to be relived. That said, I am kind of looking forward to checking out Classic. I don't want to put a huge damper on it, like my opinion wise, but I don't super care a whole lot. It's exciting that, like, what they want to do and how they want to keep things real, but bring through the quality of life stuff, like you said, Medros, with the widescreen support, 64-bit client instead of the old 32, because nobody really uses 32-bit anymore.
No, I believe all the OSs that have 32-bit versions don't have support for WoW anymore. It's not supported anymore.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's a 32-bit version of Windows 7 anymore.
No, I don't even know.
So now that we're kind of getting closer to the point of having WoW Classic release, I'm so very excited for WoW Burning Crusade. And then, you know, WoW Wrath of Lich King. I mean, we're so excited for all these new versions of WoW.
Is that, you think that's going to happen?
I am confident there'll be people who are going to ask for it.
I think it may depend on how well Classic does. If they see enough people playing in it over time, continuously, to see if it's actually going to be worth their time to do that. Because it's going to come to a point that it's going to pretty much, you know, anything after Kata, catch up to where we are. So I don't know how far they would be able to take it over time.
The other question is, if they do entertain that, would they have, like, a WoW Classic server, and then a WoW BC server, and then et cetera, et cetera? Or would they have, like, the Classic, and you play on that for a year, and then, hey, it evolves to BC, and then you play on that, and then it evolves to the next? I don't know how that would work. Having Classic for just a year, and then evolve to, or go to the next expansion would not make any sense at all, because no, it takes a long time to level in Classic.
No, I think if they release Classic, they'll keep it out.
Yeah.
I think it just is going to be dependent on how interested people are. Once the rose-colored glasses fall off and people stop playing, they're going to take a look at the numbers and see who is still playing after that point, once the nostalgia is gone, and then see if they're going to even remotely consider doing a Burning Crusade server or a Lich King server. I wouldn't mind doing Wrathgate again, so I wouldn't be against Wrath coming out.
You know, could just do Wrath again? Go through there and just do it? Instead of having to do another version of it, you know, just go do it.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not going to happen. You won't do it, but...
Well, certain people will. You know, everyone that does the WoW challenges, various podcasts do challenges. World of Warcraft does leveling challenges all the time. And I can only imagine for, you know, WoW challenges and stuff, you know, the Iron Man, like, how that goes for them.
Yeah, I was just thinking Iron Man, like, doing Iron Man on Classic? That would be so awesome. That would be really cool.
Legit.
All right. Well, I think we're done with this topic now. I'm done with this topic.
You were done before you started.
That's true.
This is true. This is very true.
And that's fair. I mean, it's only a small percentage of people. Well, we'll say a small percentage being not 100%. It could be between 1 and 99% are interested in this. And there's another percentage that don't really care. And there's another percentage that are like, sorry, by not really care, I mean they're opposed to it. And then there's another percentage that doesn't really care or is indifferent, I guess you could say. And I mean, Medros is obviously in that no pile, and I'm obviously in that indifferent pile. But you know, some people are really excited for that, and I'm sure Toasty is a little bit excited. I can't remember what he said before, but like, you can log in and see like, hey, this is WoW when it first came out. And for people that didn't get that before, I mean, that's a pretty cool little perk to try it out.
All right. Well, let's move on here. Tell us a little bit what was recently discovered there, Allie.
The Puzzle Box of Yogg-Saron, or as I call it, the Old God's Rubik's Cube. This was a toy that came out back in Kata with Nurubian Archaeology. And for the longest time, you would use it and you would just get a bunch of really cool Old God whispers. People have been wondering for a long time if there's something more to it, if there's a puzzle to solve for it, that kind of thing. Fast forward to today with BFA, we finally now know what it is. This was discovered earlier in the expansion, and it's just now coming more and more information about it out there. But basically, you go into Uldir against Zekfaz, and when the projection of Yogg-Saron comes out, you use this toy. And then you thank your healers because a ton of damage goes out. And it's increased damage to the raid. It makes the fight a lot harder to do. But the cube goes out and kind of starts solving itself in, you know, Rubik's Cube fashion, which is really cool. And then you get an achievement, which is really cool. And then you, again, thank your healers for making that possible because it's a lot of extra damage. It is like a hard mode for Zekfaz. That's right, Reach. So it's really interesting that this toy that came out in 2010 is just now in 2018 finding its solution. So good on Blizzard. I think that's really awesome, and I can't wait to do that. And I'm the guild leader and a healer, so they're going to do it because I'm going to say that we're going to do it.
That is pretty cool. For being like 8 years old? Wow.
Right. Like, it makes me wonder if when they first released it, you know, in 2010, did they have this intention? Or did they just kind of put it on the back burner knowing that they'll use it someday when they start addressing old gods more?
Like, yeah.
I wonder how they know that.
Probably that, because like they said before that they have things planned out. I guess they kind of do have things planned out vaguely a couple expansions in advance, yeah, but
probably not to this detail. Like, we are going to wait for everyone to solve this puzzle that they're going to try to figure out forever until this expansion 8 years later with this particular boss at this particular time, and that's when they'll do it. Ha ha ha. Like, I don't think it was like that, but just to know, you know, Blizzard does have this long game, and I think a lot of people underestimate that, and this is a great example of their ability to carry through with the long game.
That is impressive.
Very much so. So, let's talk about it. Wow, team.
Oh, holy. I just saw this, and it's pretty crazy. So Holinka tweeted today. Was it today? It wasn't today. It was
week sometime.
Yesterday? No. Whatever. In the past couple days anyways. Yes, I am once again part of the WoW team. The team has done tremendous work during the past year, and I'm very excited to help them in any way I can. An amazing team makes World of Warcraft. Proud to work alongside them. And so MMO Champion had noted that he left a little over a year ago to work on an unannounced project, but is now back as the lead content designer for WoW, heading up that team. It's interesting. I wonder what the unannounced project was. Maybe he went to the classic WoW project.
No, he left Blizzard.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he left Blizzard.
I thought he was just doing a different...
Nope, he had stated he left Blizzard and was working on something he hadn't quite spoken about. I don't remember exactly if anybody had figured out what he was working on, but it was... maybe it was a different... No, actually, no, you're right. Sorry, I'm wrong. I admit that I'm wrong. He left WoW team for a new operating at Blizzard, but now he's back. So,
although
I thought I read somewhere that he left Blizzard completely. Sorry.
Related to this, Ashiok left Blizzard, and he was recently let go at NCSoft. So that kind of sucks for him. I don't know if we talked about that last week or if I just read it in the past week.
I don't remember.
So maybe we'll see him come back to WoW too. Yay! Go Basha! Come back!
I think it's interesting with this Holinka thing because the toxic negative Nancys are taking this as a sign that this means Blizzard's in trouble and he has to come help and blah, 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 blah. But I don't think that's it. I think it just... whatever he was working on is either done or his part of it is done.
Mm-hmm.
And why not take someone who knows the game and knows the player base and put them, who is a strong person, back on the team? I don't understand why everyone's, using this as further sign that, WoW's dying and blah, blah, blah.
I'm willing to bet that he was part of the classic team. And now that they've kind of got their ducks in a row for that, he's moving back to the actual WoW team, or the live WoW team, I guess. The legit WoW team. I don't know. It's just a guess, but people can move around and work on different things. I know at my work, people move around different places all the time. And, they might work on something for a while and help it out a lot, and then decide to move back to where they were before. Actually, a couple of years ago, I was moving from one team to another, from our integrations team to our payments team. And in the interim, I had to go work on some other stuff to help out some other teams before I could kind of start more full on the payments team. And I've been there ever since. But in a big company, people can move around a lot, and they know a lot of things, and it's not like it's a silo of, hey, this is just the WoW team, but there's all sorts of different people, and they talk every day, and they talk about the work that they do, and they play all the games, so they have a very good understanding of how all the games work. And so it's very easy to transplant yourself into another team and help them develop and improve their game or their content, and then move back, because you're in that all the time anyways. So, but yeah, it's good to see him moving back to the WoW team. I am kind of curious where he actually was.
Very much so, yeah. And since you brought it up, I feel we must play this clip.
Hello, this is World of Warcraft Community Manager Zaram.
And this is Community Manager Bashiok.
And you're listening to All Things Azeroth.
Kicking it old school.
But absolutely.
But Zaram and Bashiok.
Yeah, those are the days.
I miss them. And we met them.
We did.
Aww.
And yeah, Bash left NCSoft a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
At least that's the date of his tweet, anyway. All right. But yeah, welcome back to Mr. Holinka to the WoW team, and we'll see how that goes. So let's talk some Azerite armor, shall we?
So a lot of people are upset about the state of Azerite armor, and one group of those who are upset are those who regularly do Mythic Pluses. Blizzard's been listening, and so they have announced that in 8.1, So not now. Stop hoarding your Azurite gear. But starting in 8.1, the Myth Plus weekly reward, when you get Azurite gear, if you don't like what you got, if you don't like your talents that are on it, you can actually go scrap it. And when you scrap it, you get a certain kind of currency. And then you can take that currency over to our friend whose name I'm going to totally mess up because I'm horrible with names. Thaumaturge Mastering? The Ethereal back on Broken Shore. And the Vindicar that you can trade the crystals and stuff in for gear. They're actually bring him up to BFA times somewhere. And you can trade in that currency you got from scrapping the Azurite gear from Mythic Pluses and either get a random piece of Azurite gear, or if you save up more, you can get a 385 and actually pick your gear. So you're going to be able to pick and decide which special traits you want. Again, it's going to take more currency for those, and it makes sense because they're going to be 385s. But you're going to be able to pick. So for those who don't like the RNG, those who consider min-maxing to be part of the game and what they enjoy to do, is another way for them to be able to do that. So it kind of shows that Blizzard's listening. They're working on it. Give them time. They'll fix it. I think this is going to be a great change, and good on them.
It has absolutely no impact on me, so...
I don't know a single thing about scrapping gear.
So when you go to the crafting area, there is a scrapper. Like in the very beginning, you get a quest to open up the scrapper. And it shows you, you know, you go scrap this random bit of tailored gear or whatever. And you get any range of mats, like crafting mats, from it. Mm-hmm. The higher, you know, level gear that you're scrapping, the more mats you get. So now they're saying... that in addition to that, if you have Azurite gear that you got, I don't know if it's going to be all Azurite gear or just Azurite gear you got from Mythic Pluses, but you'll be able to scrap that and get this certain kind of currency in that as well. And then use that to trade in for gear that you actually want.
Okay, that's pretty sweet.
But for the scrapper itself, you can scrap any piece of gear, which is, it's a nice way to get extra, you know, mats to use for your own crafting or for guildies or for turn-ins for war fronts or whatever you want.
I think any gear that I've gotten that I didn't want, if it's BOE, I send it to my disenchanter. Or if right. It's BOP, I just vendor it.
And that's actually been one of the problems with expansion for poor enchanters, because you know a lot of people are scrapping their gear to get other crafting items. And it's not always going to be enchanting and crafting items. So the enchanters are having an issue because they don't have enough mats. Because normally the guildies that would give them the stuff to disenchant, they're just taking it to the scrapper instead. And people are finding that if they only scrap their gear, they don't have as much gold. Like, I know I found myself, like, scrapping everything just to give my guildies mats and realized I'm kind of poor right now between scrapping gear instead of selling it and repair bills and a little bit of transmog here and there. So the scrapper is a very interesting thing to add, and I can't decide if I like it yet or not.
Well, you don't need to go back to the transmog person every time you change gear. I mean, I know you like your look, but come on.
I had a change on Sunday to show off for the people. Sometimes you just gotta
do that. I see. Fashion sense. Okay, I gotcha.
Once in a blue moon. I don't have it in real life. I might as well have it in game once in a while, right?
Well, I mean, in fairness, you did actually change your mount for the raid we were in, so...
Well, I'm sorry, when you run AQ, you put on that mount. That is the only time you can use that. Thank you very much.
I'm glad to hear that.
Uh-huh. Deal with it. Moving on.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that. your friend's the Blood Elves there, fan. What's going on with their armor problems here?
I only have one Blood Elf, okay? Oh my, I have a Blood Elf. It's Noridori. It's my only paladin. So some Blood Elf heritage armor was added in the latest build. And, you know, it looks not too bad. I'm not really huge into armor stuff. And transmog stuff, but interesting. Quest change unlocked Blood Elf. Heritage armor is now available. Oh, on 8.1 PTR. Okay, so that's going to be part of 8.1. So yeah, more stuff to do. Not that I've done a whole bunch of stuff that I can actually do. Yeah, a lot of time.
I see a lot of people talking about this stuff, and I mean, it looks okay, but yeah, I would never wear it.
It looks like you're a Kael'thas Sunstrider wannabe in... What's that place that he was in? I can't even remember the dungeon. I don't know. In BC. Right? Well, that was in BC that you did that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, typical Blood Elf look. But no, I think it's pretty cool. It looks nice. Would I go get it? I don't think so. But, you know, maybe it's right up Toasty's alley for if he plays a Blood Elf paladin at some point.
Yeah. It does look like the quest chain for this is now available for testing on the PTR. It's a decent quest chain. You need to be exalted with Silver Moon and 100 level 120 on a Blood Elf in order to get this. And then, you can have your Blood Elf heritage armor.
I guess that means I just have to level my Blood Elf to max level. Because aren't we supposed to be leveling a certain character to max level at some point?
Yeah, sometimes.
And I picked Blood Elf and you picked Warlock. I mean, I picked Paladin, you picked Warlock, and Toasty picked not Warrior. Anything but Warrior. Do we have like a timeline for that you have to hit that?
No. And in hindsight, I should have totally made Toasty level a Warrior tank.
Warrior tank. You have to level in Prot.
Okay, so I apologize for those who are not watching live, but our chat, we've gone from Pepsi or Coke to best alcohol. And
you
it's
started it by saying Crown Royal. Okay, it was not me. You
I
said Crown Royal.
I simply said the only correct answer to what do you drink.
You started the correct answer. Talk. You started it.
I did not. Moving right along. There is a new book out on Amazon. It's actually published by Blizzard. For those who are interested in cosplay, I don't know the actual author, but I'm very intrigued by this because I know a lot of people who are cosplayers, a lot of people who struggle trying to figure out how to get into cosplay, and I was really happy to see this. I don't remember where I saw it. It was social media somewhere, I think. But basically, it goes into some tips, tricks, and hints on doing WoW cosplay. Or Blizzard cosplay for any of their titles. And it has costume tips and tricks, photos from some of the top cosplayers around the globe. And we've talked to cosplayers, we talked a couple years ago, think of cooling and think of the effects it'll have on you and so on. So it's definitely good to have that knowledge if you do want to get into cosplay. I mean, the only cosplay I've ever considered was me, Fanto, and Toasty dressing up as the Lost Vikings for BlizzCon 1 year. But Fan hasn't been back since, and I was only back one more year after that. So, but I blame Fan Death. It's all his fault.
What?
you broke our plan, man. We were gonna go as Lost Vikings, and you didn't shoot. Get.
Maybe next year.
I don't think which one would I be?
Which one would any of us be? We're all gonna groundish.
Hey now.
Hey, it's truth, man. I'm more rounded than all of you, but we're still all a little on the round side.
I've lost a lot of weight in the past couple months.
I'm very happy for you.
Thank you. I'm actually lower than I've ever been, probably since junior high or high school.
I got a long ways to go for that.
It feels like, good. It's fabulous.
The number starts with a 2. What I have to lose to be that. But anyways, if you are interested in cosplay, this is a really good book. I've seen some reviews of it that were very, very positive, so definitely check it out. I believe I've seen people who've gotten preview copies of it, and I think it should be coming out, it came out October 15th, so yeah, definitely check it out if you're looking to cosplay. I'm sure there is information here that can help you. So Ellie, tell us about this little promo they have here.
So, this just came out yesterday? today, very recently, certain inactive accounts are being gifted with 3 free trial days. You know, try bring some people into the game, try BFA. I went and read the fine print, though. And if you go to the actual promotion page, there is some fine print. So it's a 3-day trial. You get to, you know, you can go through the class trials. You get to go through, I believe, the Battle for Loron, and you know, you get your Heart of Azurite, and you get to go to the new zone, and that's it. So the speculation, the stipulation, whatever you want to call it, is you either get 3 hours on a tune, or you get all the way up to the quest where afterwards you pick which starring zone you're going to go to. So for the Alliance, that's Nation Divided. Or for the Horde, it's We Need Each Other. And that's it. The trial stops. So it's not 3 free days to do whatever you want. Like, that's all you get to do. But you can do that on as many characters as you want. So you can try all the different characters. You can see the Alliance side. You can see the Horde side. You know, just a way to kind of tease a little bit and kind of get people checking it out again. Which, I thought it was going to be people getting a chance to quest and really see the new stuff, because the leveling experience, in my opinion, is awesome. But it's actually very short trials, which is interesting. And again, there are some people who are taking it to the extreme of, OMG, Blizzard's trying to get more people because this expansion's failing. No, they do this all the time. This is how they bring people in. This is normal. But who knows? Maybe people will try it out and decide they like it and come back.
Yeah, they've tried a number of different things over the years to try and bring people who used to play back into the game or to get new people into the game. This is just another one of those things. I don't see this as a sign at all of BFA not being popular or problems. I just think it's the way it is.
Yep. That's basically just marketing being smart. And if you look at somebody that has played a lot in the past or played a bunch and then quit for a while and then come back for a little bit and getting their attention to, hey, come check this out. It's shiny. It's like, oh, it's shiny. Let's go try it.
It's a good thing. It's smart on their part.
Yeah,
I do wish it went a little further, but at the same time, it kind of makes sense. Like, you get to experience all the epicness of the setup. You get to see a little bit of the beginning of the story, but depending on Horde and Alliance. And then just when you're free to go out and quest as you want, it stops. So it really is just a little teaser.
You know, it's the dealer of possibly illicit stuff that is giving you a bit of a taste. That's all. Just a taste.
Yeah. Sometimes it's all you need.
First, and it's always free.
You want a lot more. So exactly. The first one's always free. Very true.
So yeah, if you haven't gotten BFA yet, why not try it out? See what you think.
If you're inactive, it'll show up on your Battle.net launcher. That's that little gift box they put there sometimes. And that's where you'll see if you got that invite or not for 3 free days. And you can try that on as many characters as you want in those 3 days. So have fun. Check it out.
All right. 8.1 PTR has provided us some new mounts. So there is a new Nightsaber mount, which I think looks really cool. There's at least one new Chimera, which definitely looks really neat. You can get a blue marsh hopper, and it looks like this is a frog of some sort. I think we have seen this model before. Black Paw is a bear. A lot of this details around stuff in Darkshore with the stuff that's going on up there. I'm really cool with this stuff. It looks really neat, and I'm really interested to see players with this stuff in actual, you know, in gameplay. Have either of you guys taken a look at some of this? The Kodo mount or any of the Nightsabers?
The Nightsabers look really good. I'm excited for that.
Frightened Kodo? Huh. I don't know if I can do a Kodo. Like, those things are so big. Oh, it doesn't have a screenshot of it or anything either.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. Usually they have screenshots of the stuff. So, gotta get better at that. Gotta get better at that. More screenshots.
It's mounts. Probably want to try to get them at some point when I start playing WoW a little bit more. Anyways, moving on from, you know, 8.1 PTR, let's talk about BlizzCon. So, there was a post for about security improvements for BlizzCon 2018. They're adding metal detectors for all entrances, and also bag checks as well. And so would that mean that if you have a backpack, you have to actually check it in, or do they just check the bag? Like, look in the bag like they used to? I don't understand that.
I assume it is that you have to have your bag checked, make sure there's nothing in there that's a problem. Of course, this is a response to what happened in Florida at the Madden tournament.
Yes.
It's unfortunate that companies need to do this. You know, I've talked to a few people I know who are going. I've talked to our friend Robert, who goes every year because he lives out that way. And, you know, even before this happened, they've been more and more restrictive about cameras and what can be brought in. But this year, I think every event I've seen promoted has been even more restrictive, especially after the lawsuit started flying for that event. Aimed at the organizers, at the venue owners, and so on. So it's unfortunate. Hopefully, at some point, we get to a point where we don't have to have that kind of security. But Blizzard wants to make sure their gamers are safe and secure. So it is going to be a requisite for a long time, I think.
Yeah, that's very true.
There is restrictions on bag sizes, more restrictive rules for props, and even more items that are not allowed in the console. So, and I don't know for sure, but I suspect this is even being applied to media, or maybe not so much to media, because they do have to be able to take pictures and write from the con. But I think they are being checked just as others are, which in the past was rarely done. I know when I was going with my media pass, I don't recall ever being searched going through the media door.
Just, is it media door?
Yeah, media pass. There's if you look at the map in the post there, there's the ADA guest and media entrance, which is near the badge pickup area. It wasn't quite so far that way before. It was kind of halfway between there and the Grand Plaza entrance. Now they're putting it even further down, right near the end there. So
I never went in that entrance, did I? Did I have media pass before?
No.
Oh, it was just you?
I had two, and Toasties had two, including this year's.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you had in two different, like a single one in two different years.
Correct.
Toasties had in the past 2 years. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just went to the, I guess what I'm thinking of is we went to that mixer that 1 year.
That was a different, that was not requiring a media pass. That was something that we were invited to by Zara.
I miss Sarum. Did I say that?
Yeah, you did. Yeah. He's a good guy. This time of year, there's a lot of things that I get missing. if you're going, definitely plan ahead. They did say that they are planning to open their checkpoints at 6 a.m. On Friday and Saturday. So even though the doors don't open until 9:30 a.m., you can still get in past the checkpoints so that you're just going right in instead of waiting a bunch, then being checked. Because they understand that'll be a bottleneck for a lot of people. But yeah, if you haven't gone before, I'd recommend going there early so you can get the front of the massive crowd instead of at the back. Because Friday is always interesting. All right. So, we can probably skip that X-ray, right, Allie? It's not a big deal.
I don't know. There's a certain gnome in chat that might be a little upset if we skip the next one.
He'll get over it. I mean, at worst, it'll just go right over his head.
Oh,
we love you, Frasley. So, fan of gnomes will be happy. Your good king Galban Mechatork is getting an update. It should be coming out in 8.1, and obviously, you know, spoilers are avoided here. But it's for some upcoming content. And 8.1, he looks pretty cool, so you should go check it out. And it's just a sign that, you know, things are going to be happening with him. It's good times. Yes, hype train indeed.
I'm sure it's not a big deal.
Maybe a little deal.
As usual, they'll get short shrift.
Yeah.
All right, so back in, I can't remember when this was announced, but yeah, it was early this year. Blizzard sold their first charity skin for Overwatch. Now, they've done pets in WoW, mounts in WoW. They've done plushies, which is generally their end of year fundraiser for charity. They did their first Overwatch one earlier this year, and it was a pink Mercy skin. And they recently announced the results of that, and that was that they raised $12.7 million. The funding for that went to three breast cancer-related charities that absolutely can use the help. I've had family members who suffered from that. I'm sure many people have. While I did not pick up the skin, I am very glad that Blizzard did this and raised funds for a really great cause. Allie, do you play Overwatch?
I've dabbled here and there. Not super active in it.
Okay. And I'm pretty sure, Fan, you have purchased it, but never actually played it, or very rarely played it.
Very, very, very rarely played it, yeah.
Okay. But like I said, I did not purchase that myself, but I do know some people who have, so that's always a good thing. But thanks from all the people who that will help going forward, to the folks over at Blizzard, and to all the Overwatch players who purchased that skin. A tip of the hat to you. Very, very well done. All right. I think that is about all our news. Let's do a little bit of a mention of a certain show coming up, shall we?
BlizzCon 2018 is quickly approaching, and so is the 6th annual World of Podcasts presented by Con Before the Storm and Medieval Times. With well over 55 different podcasts expressing interest in participating, this year's World of Podcasts will include content taking place before, during, and after Con Before the Storm. The entertainment begins on October 28th at 4 p.m. U.S. Pacific Time with a Warcraft-focused Pod Before the Con, followed at 7 p.m. with a Pod Before the Con previewing Con Before the Storm and covering all Blizzard franchises. These two panels can be heard live at twitch.tv/ConBeforeStorm. The core of our World of Podcasts programming will be recorded on the fourth floor of the Anaheim Hilton, taking place during Con Before the Storm from 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. U.S. Pacific Time. This event is entirely free and open to the public, so if you're in the California area, do consider joining us. All of these panels will be available on the podcast feed for World of Podcasts shortly after the conclusion of the event. We'll wrap up our coverage of BlizzCon with a podcast recorded from Anaheim on day 2 of BlizzCon at 2 p.m. U.S. Pacific Time, which we'll also post to the feed as soon as possible. We can't wait to share this gathering of voices from throughout the Blizzard podcast community with you. Make sure to follow at World of Podcasts and at ConBeforeStorm on Twitter for news and updates. And for more information, visit ConBeforeStorm.com.
All right. So yes, definitely check out Con Before the Storm if you are going to be there live or tune in online. Definitely a great show. And none of us will be there in person. Again, I and Allie will both be on the Pod Before the Con the Sunday before. So it is time to move on to our next sponsor. So today's show is also brought to you by the folks over at Audible. You can get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2018. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2018. Our book that we picked this week is a continuation of a series we did before. It is the Magic 2.0 series. This is book 5, Out of Spite, Out of Mind. And let's go listen to that now.
Brit the Elder's home exuded the sort of serenity that's only possible in a home when nobody's there to enjoy it. A small amount of light from the outside filtered in through the blinds, partially illuminating an interior that contained just enough furniture, mementos, and objets d'art to qualify as deliberately austere rather than just empty. In the midst of all this stillness and silence, Brit the Elder materialized. Other magic users would simply pop into existence, or appear after an animation and sound effect intended to impress any witnesses, but which usually just resembled the beaming-in special effect from Star Trek. Brit the Elder had spent a great deal of time perfecting her own materialization macro to be subtle yet noticeable. The result was that she appeared to slip elegantly into existence, like a silver spoon rising to the surface of a bone china bowl full of vichyssoise. She appeared standing straight and tall, as was her habit. She glanced around to verify that she was alone.
So that again is Out of Spite, Out of Mind. It is written by Scott Meyer and narrated by Luke Daniels. I think we covered at least 3 or 4 of those books already, so definitely check it out. It was released a few months ago. I'm hoping for another one soon, but those are only available on Audible, so definitely check it out. Again, that is bit.ly/ATABooks2018. And we thank them for sponsoring the show. So as we mentioned before, and we are mentioning every day on Twitter, if you follow us, we still have the current contest, which is for the monitor mount. Frazzly was the winner of our first one. We're giving one more away, ending on, I believe, the BlizzCon coverage after BlizzCon, the 5th of November. We also started another contest this week, right before the show, and that is for a BlizzCon virtual ticket. So this will be running for 1 week. It'll run until 7 p.m. on the 29th. You can go to our website, or you can also go to another link, which might be a little bit easier to follow, maybe, perhaps, in order to get your own entries. There's, I think, five ways to enter. You can do all five, and you'll get one entry per one. And it's going to be a lot of fun. These do come from Blizzard, so we want to thank them for that. We want to be able to allow you to see us. Now, if you aren't a winner of this and you don't have your own virtual ticket, you can always go and, well, visit us here. We'll be doing coverage this year of BlizzCon, as we do every year on Dawnforge. I'm hoping to have Allie for some time, Frazzly for some time, maybe some Emma time. Fan, if you're around, we'll love to have you around for that. If you can stand us talking during this events, of course. we'll not have a Toasty because he'll be at the event live.
He can just call in.
I've tried calling in before, and that really did not work.
Well, he's on Rogers, and they have Roam Like Home, so he gets his actual plan. And I don't know who Rogers pairs up with. Maybe, Singular? Who's Singular? Probably AT&T.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yes. We will do coverage. We'll have some folks from Shattered Soulstone there. We will talk about all the news that's announced live at the opening ceremonies. We'll cover all the panels, or as many panels as we can. So, again, if you haven't got one and you want, definitely check it out. It is bit.ly/2018VT week one. No capitalization, just all lowercase, no spaces, nothing. So, 2018VT week one. And if you don't win that one, we have another one the week after. It'll start at 8 p.m. on the 29th, right before we go live with the show. And we'll go until right before the opening ceremonies on the 2nd. So definitely let us, enter. You have five different things you can do to enter. And we will look forward to giving a really cool virtual ticket prize with a Sombra skin, with access to the entire on via stream content, as well as really cool things in a lot of different games, including a Tertullian pet, I believe is what you get for WoW. But there's lots of really cool things. Definitely check it out. We will be announcing a winner in a week. So I think that's all the contests we have right now. I think that's it for now. Maybe more coming up. We'll see. All right, so prediction time is our question of the week. What are you expecting to be announced at BlizzCon 2018? Fan, how would you start?
So Daniel Silverthorn said a tournament series for Hearthstone? Sorry, a tournament series for Hearthstone. It's kind of a question, so interesting. Frazzly on Twitter said, I think something mobile. That is where the industry seems to be going. And I kind of agree with that. And I am not super excited about anything mobile. And as you can hear in the background, Cookie's not excited about mobile either.
All right, Ellie, how about you?
So Wookie BH, who we did just get to play with on Sunday and had a lot of fun with, hi, said Diablo 2 remaster, new WoW allied races, new mobile game with existing IP, which is very possible. You never know. Red Zian said, a Diablo-themed idle clicker mobile game. A lot of theme going on with the mobile game stuff. And Zaitoshi? I'm so sorry about the names. Said, I'm hoping for additions to the mobile app that continue to affect the in-game world, like a fishing or archaeology minigame. That'd be nice. Which, yes, that would actually be nice.
For sure. Stigu says, something big Diablo related, Diablo 4 rumors were put to a stop. I take it, but maybe the D2 remaster. I'll be disappointed if they do not deliver something with Diablo this BlizzCon. They've been hyping it up and telling us there are multiple Diablo projects in the works. Oh, and we already know about the Netflix series, so that ain't going to cut it. Or isn't going to cut it, sorry. This Ally person, Queen of Lore, says, I can make a few predictions. If I had to pick one, it would be the WoW pet battles on mobile. Even if it's just a teaser video, somehow it will be announced. And Fresley also stated in a separate entry, I think Rose's prediction of Halsey and D is pretty accurate that something is going to happen. Feed my answer. This is in response to the mobile and the pet battles.
I do have to say that I like Ali's suggestion about mobile pet battles. That kind of, that sounds interesting to me. I don't know how much I would do it, but...
You know, we should definitely get that person on the show to talk more about this.
I could tell you... I could tell you, like... maybe a couple years ago that I would not have been interested in Pokemon on my phone, and I still play it every once in a while. So...
You're getting there. Slowly but surely.
That's the thing.
Yeah, like, people have been asking for this for a while. Considering the success of Pokemon Go, I mean, it may not be exactly like Pokemon Go per se, but I think they have the capability, and I think it would do well. Most of my pet battling in game is honestly just to collect new pets because that's fun. That they just run around with me. I don't really battle further with them usually. But if I had this app, I probably would. I think it'd be awesome.
Zephyr the Chairman saying about mech AH gnomes. I think we already have mech AH robots in the game. They're engineering constructs, but I'm pretty sure we already have that. So we don't really need to worry about that. Sorry. I'm gonna get cursed out now. I can see it. Next week's question is, what are you excited to go look for in WoW Classic Demo for BlizzCon? Ben?
Probably the only thing I'll do is run from Crossroads to Ratchet and back again, because why not? Nostalgia, right?
How about you, Ellie?
Doing the dungeons and seeing but their original form.
You can't do that in the demo. So what do you want from the demo?
Oh, that's true. That's true. I kind of just want to see... My biggest interest has been with the graphics. I want to see what they're doing. You know, if it's going to be fully updated graphics, if it's going to be original graphics, but critter models updated awkwardly. I don't know. I just, for some odd reason, I really want to see how they're handling the graphic.
From the demo itself, I will log in to see if they actually kept the art the same. Because really, that's all that it should be. It should just be a very limited amount of change stuff, new code, but the art should be the same. Just saying. I don't think it's going to be, but I think it should be. All right. So, shoutouts.
So, special announcement time. So, I'm going to give a shoutout to the Winnipeg Jets for beating the St. Louis Blues 5-4 in overtime.
Ooh. Really?
And to Toasty for, you know... being at the game to cheer on our Jets.
Yeah, if only he was cheering on the Jets tonight.
Oh, poor Toasty.
All right, yeah, I'll take that one. That's good. We'll see what Toasty thinks next week when he's back. My shout out goes to Allie for coming on the show and doing a super awesome job. Thanks.
Aw, thanks. Thanks for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
And what is your shout-out, Allie?
My shout-out is to the bunch of people who are putting together Calm Before the Storm and World of Podcasts, because we're getting down to the wire and they've been working so hard. And I know they're exhausted, but it's such a great community event and I'm grateful for everything they've done. So my shout-outs go to them.
Cool. Yeah, I think that's it. A reminder, we will have Ro on next week. I fully intend to do the entire show notes, and they'll be 8 pages long. So you're welcome, Ro. If you are listening to this episode, that is not my fault. You were pre-warned in this episode. And if anybody tweets to Ro about this, I will be very unhappy with you, because I want him to be very surprised by the development.
I won't tell him, I promise.
You're not the one I'm worried about. I also want to give Ali a chance to tell us where to find her and And what's going on there?
Well, the easiest way would be Twitter. On Twitter, myself, at Aliandris K. The show Dungeon Fables is at Dungeon Fable, singular, because the S was taken by an inactive account, and I'm still bitter about it to this day. And like he said, we did Ubers last week, and we're doing some Dire Maul, and there's some fun stuff coming up, maybe a little giveaway, maybe a certain interview with John Stats that Frasley and I did coming out soon. So some great stuff coming out.
And what's the website again?
So you can find the show itself, if you don't want to go on Twitter, at dungeonfables.libsyn.com, because I fail.
It's all right. We forgive you. All right. And that is about it. So let us do our outro, I guess. If you'd like to reach us by voicemail, you can reach us at 1-785-ATA-WOW5. That's 1-785-282-9695. You can send emails to show@allthingsazeroth.com. If you like what we do here, you can check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/allthingsaz. Our Twitter is at allthingsaz. Mine is at Medros. Fandas is at Fanda. That's P-H-A-N-D-E-T-H, if you don't know it already. And at Toasty Posty Cant for our currently absent co-host. At Dawnforge for the network. And you can join our BattleNet group at bit.ly/bnetata. And please check out our other shows from the Dawnforge Productions Network, including Group Quest, Shattered Soulstone, More Than Megapixels, and Across the Hooniverse. We'll be back next week. In the meantime, take care, happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of a great Jets win.
Yay! Go, Jets, go!
Avalanche 1-2. Woohoo!
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Good wins for most of the people involved in the show.
This podcast has been a production of Dawnforge, copyright 2018. Find out more at thedawnforge.com.